Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're taking up today first reading at Mass today, which is the second reading we're given so far this week from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. We began yesterday with that very powerful introduction that Paul gives us in the letter to the Romans, and Paul will say later in one of his writings that he talks about, he challenges us here in Romans actually to be renewed, chapter 12, to be renewed in our minds, to live with a transformed way of thinking. And each and every one of us is called to see reality now on God's terms because of what we've been given in the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. We have a capacity to acquire a fresh, new spiritual way of thinking, thinking about creation, thinking about God himself, thinking about our own lives and who we are. And you see in that first, in the very introduction to this letter in Romans, the grasp that St. Paul has on the magnitude of God's saving action in Jesus. And he's so secure and clear about who he is now, having been brought from death to life himself, having been made alive by the power of the Holy Spirit, God's call on his life. And then he brings it with such confidence and applies it to your life and mine. That's one of the things I hope we can draw on, is to see not only Paul's grand vision and the unfolding and the communication of the faith that he's given to us that's so powerful and so rich, but that we can see ourselves in that story and the realities that he's experienced. He's telling us, everyone who's baptized into Christ is sharing in the glorious truths that he's communicating to us. Today, there's a little bit of a different twist. Paul steps into an important understanding, what his understanding, which again, an expression of a renewed mind animated by the grace of the Holy Spirit, by revelation. He talks to us today about the power of God, but also the human resistance that's there. In this first chapter, it's mostly about the pagan world that's resisting him, but it also applies to us. And then later chapters here in chapter 3, probably 2 and 3, Paul, I think it's where Paul will talk to us about even the resistance that's among the Jewish people who receive the Torah, who were called by God, the chosen people. But here, Romans 1, 16 through 25, he begins, "Brothers and sisters, I am not ashamed of the gospel." There's a lot just in the one line. This reminds me of Pope Paul VI's apostolic exhortation that he wrote back in 1975, I think, 74, 75, on the call of the church to evangelize. He said it was, evangelization is an expression of the church's deepest identity. In the context of the document, he points out a problem, one of a series of problems that holds us back from preaching the gospel, sharing it with other people, just living it openly. He puts his finger on something that Paul is saying the opposite of here, and that is the blushing at the gospel. St. Paul said he's not ashamed of the gospel. Pope Paul VI said many in the church in his day, and even today, I think, blush at the gospel, the folly of the gospel, the demands of the gospel, embarrassed to talk about it with other people, lest we be rejected. So one thing we know for sure is, as Paul's saying here, I'm not ashamed of this good news of God, the good news that's revealed in Jesus Christ. One thing the Holy Spirit wants us to do today, I think, and he will lead us in this direction until we get there, that we are not ashamed to speak the name of Jesus, to tell others about the faith that we have. It's kind of interesting. I'm also thinking, as I'm recording this, the a few weeks back, the funeral, or not the funeral, but the event, Turning Point event that was honoring the life of Charlie Kirk. And I was amazed to see, I watched some of it, friends of mine watched all of it, that one person after another got up and, surprisingly, politicians, some of those powerful politicians in the world, testifying to the person of Jesus Christ and the gospel of salvation that's being offered. So Lord, we ask you today to help us to go to another level of transformation, that we'd have this confidence and we would not be ashamed of the message. Paul not only says that he's not ashamed of the gospel, but he said it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. The Jew first, and then the Greek. He's talking about the whole world, ultimately. For in it is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith, as it is written, the one who is righteous by faith will live. So he's saying the very power of God. And one of the reasons that we can blush at it is its simplicity. Paul takes up that concern in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He said, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. He said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will thwart. It's in the Old Testament. And the Lord, Paul is saying, God intentionally is bringing about salvation through this means, through faith from beginning to end, that brings us into the righteousness of God, that is the promise of God to deal with the sin problem in the various ways that was expressed in the Old Testament, to bring people, to have a people, to bring about salvation. Paul says, for in it is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith. And God decided to bring this absolutely, utterly, for all time, unique message of the life, passion, and death, resurrection of Jesus through the gospel, the simplicity of the gospel. So in 1 Corinthians, he's saying, quoting again from the Old Testament, where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? And he's doing it today, the same way. There's different things we focus on, like the new philosophies that emerge, the new technologies, and everything that man is creating, sometimes idols, sometimes promises to bring about everything humanity needs, false gospels. But he says in verse 21, for in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom. It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. So just as in Paul's time, it can be the same way today, that even among the baptized, people are embarrassed to talk about Jesus, the simplicity of it, the folly of it. But God's wisdom is so great. Paul says in verse 25 of 1 Corinthians, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your call, brethren, not many of you are wise according to the flesh, not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. Those who think they're clever don't need it. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no flesh might boast in the presence of God. Because he is the source of our life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and redemption. So saving knowledge doesn't come through the wisdom of the Greeks, nor does it come through the scholarship of the scribes and the Pharisees. It comes through the simplicity of the gospel. God's faithfulness, God's righteousness. God has given us an opportunity. He's fulfilled his promises. God is faithful. He's made it possible for everybody to come into a right relationship with him, to have our sins forgiven. And it doesn't come as a result of our wisdom. Justification, that it means being set right with God. And in baptism, we're justified. The cross of Christ is applied to our lives. And the free gift of the new life given to us in the Holy Spirit, making us sons and daughters of God, total free gift that comes to us by faith. That's saving faith. Paul goes on. It's a long reading, which I'll just make a way through part of it and then pick up the rest tomorrow, because now he's going to talk about the resistance that's in the human heart to the will of God, the sin-sick condition of the human heart, and what it actually looks like. And he says, the wrath of God is indeed being revealed from heaven against every impiety and wickedness of those who suppress the truth by their wickedness. So God's wrath is coming against the human race. Why? Because we suppress the truth about God. Paul goes on and he says, "For what can be known about God is evident to them." Again, here he's talking about the pagan world. "Because God made it evident to them. Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes of eternal power and divinity have been able to be understood and perceived in what was made. As a result, they have no excuse. For although they knew God, they did not count equality with God something to be grasped. They refused to honor his glory and to give him thanks," Paul tells us. "Instead, they became vain in their reasoning. Their senseless minds were darkened. While claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for the likeness of an image of mortal man, of birds and four-legged animals and creatures." So what we see here is the judgment of God being revealed against the rebellion and the pride of mind that characterizes the human race apart from grace, really. And he goes on, "Therefore, God handed them over to impurity through the lusts of their hearts and for the mutual degradation of their bodies. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and revered and worshiped the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." So the wrath of God, this is an interesting thought. We're going to end with this thought today. Father Joseph Fitzmyer was a famous Jesuit scholar. He described it this way. He said, "The sin of pagans against God stems from their suppression of the truth about him in their lives. And as a result, their misguided minds have become steeped in idolatry. Thus, pagan idolatry has become the big lie. And pagans have no excuse. Their godlessness and wickedness have made them objects of God's wrath. Their idolatry has led to moral perversion." We'll see that tomorrow in a variety of ways. But God's wrath, it's important to know this. God's not up in heaven angry, stomping around, totally frustrated. But what it is God's righteousness, God's holiness. When we resist the holiness of God, that's the ground of all reality, the truth of all things. When we suppress the truth about God's claim over us as our Creator, refusing to acknowledge what we can know, that is, that God exists, that he made all things, and that we're called to respond to him, God gives us what we desire. God allows us to walk in the darkness of the lie that comes as a result of refusing to accept the truth. Even the reality of the fundamental ground of all reality is God himself. The pride of mind, the proud human heart, darkened by sin, turns away from God and insists on its own reality. Tomorrow we're going to see what that brings about in the human condition. But God is good, and he's done something about it for us. Hope you can join me tomorrow. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.